Chapter 39. Monday morning at 9:04, Lucy marched, well, okay, hobbled, but in her mind, she felt as if she were marching, into the assistant special agent in charge's office. John Greeley was already behind his desk, peering into his computer monitor, a cup of coffee down to its dregs beside his elbow. Lucy slid the piece of paper she'd spent all night working on across his desk to him, then stood at attention, using the cane to keep her upright. As soon as this was finished, she planned on going home, collapsing, treating herself to an hour-long soak in the whirlpool at the rehab clinic, collapsing again, then scheduling an appointment with her surgeon to let him yell at her for jeopardizing his precious creation, aka her ankle and foot, and probably returning to another hell month of physical therapy and rehab. She was looking forward to it. For the first time in 2 months, she felt in control of her life. Greeley glanced at the letter on the desk, but not at her. He closed down his monitor, changed to his reading glasses, picked up her letter, and stood to read it. His face remained expressionless as he scanned it once, then again. Finally, he strode over to the credenza lining the wall beside him and slid her carefully crafted resignation letter into the shredder. Then he turned to face her, brushing his hands together and giving her the same look she'd seen him give his teenager when she acted out. What the hell was that? My answer. You asked what I wanted. I'll print you another copy. He shook his head and sank into his seat, his administrator's chair behind the desk, not the chair beside her. Sit down. I'd rather stand, sir. He glared up at her. That's an order, Special Agent Guardino. Lucy squinted at him, then shuffled to the seat beside her and lowered herself onto it. You can't refuse my resignation, sir. I can, and I will, because you're not resigning. She opened her mouth to protest, but he silenced her with a raised hand. You're separating from the Federal Bureau of Investigation on a medical pension. There's a big difference. Trust me, Lucy, all these years behind a desk have taught me how to navigate this maze of red tape. Folks like Miss Carroll want you to get angry and resign because it saves them time and money. Carroll can go now. People like her can be useful. You just have to understand the game. He turned to his computer and clicked a few keys. I see here that you have 26 days of unused vacation time. We can't even begin the separation process until that's used up. And then we'll have to get another complete medical evaluation, documentation of the degree of disability. Carol will need to have it signed off by DC. Then there will be the separation interviews and final paperwork. All told, we should have you free and clear by the end of May. May? She protested. What the hell am I supposed to do until May? He raised an eyebrow. Did you miss the part about vacation? Carol will never... You let me handle Carol and her winged monkeys. As for how you fill all those empty days... He opened his desk drawer and removed a stack of paper-clipped pink message forms. Leaning forward, he dealt them out like poker cards. These came while you were gone the past 2 months. He snapped down one group of messages. Requests for interviews, book deals, and speaking gigs. Lucy leafed through them. Major network TV, New York agents and publishers, a famous true crime author. What the? These? Greeley dealt her another stack of pink paper. Are teaching positions, honorary degrees, nonprofit board positions. And these, a third stack, are private consulting and security firms. You've got to be kidding. Lucy looked up, stunned. He smiled back. Face it, Lucy. As many enemies as you've made in the Bureau, you're the public's ideal of a kick-ass FBI agent. Of course people are going to want you to be the face of their company or nonprofit or guest commentary, and they'll pay good money for it. I'd basically be a paid shill. No way. We don't need the money that bad. He slid another, smaller stack of messages out from the desk drawer, dealt them one at a time in front of her. I saved the best for last. These are nonprofits that don't want you as just another name on their letterhead. They want you to join them, full-time advisor, part-time private consultant, whatever you want. But they're out there, boots on the ground, getting the job done when local law enforcement doesn't have the resources and we can't make it a priority. She scanned them more carefully than the previous slips. National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The Polaris Project. NAMIS. She worked with all of them. While not certified law enforcement agencies and with no arrest powers, they did good work. More than the public knew, since they shared all their investigative results with law enforcement, and it was the cops who got all the credit. But these guys? This was where the real work was being done. They saved lives every day, even though they didn't carry badges or guns. "Who's this one?" she asked. "The Beacon Group." He leaned back in his chair, looking smug. "They're relatively new, but their funding is solid, and so are the people behind them. They're looking to build a high-quality staff of investigators. Their focus is cold cases, missing persons." She nodded, pretty much where her talents lay, and her interests. "As of today, you are officially on vacation. Once those 26 days are up, I'll start the medical pension paperwork. Should give you plenty of time to investigate your possibilities, talk with Nick and Megan, decide where you go from here." Lucy was still staring at the slip of paper. Beacon Group. She liked the name, the idea behind it. Lord knew, after the past several years of working sex crimes, she could use some light to steer her clear of the abyss she'd found herself lost in. She pushed to her feet with her cane, pocketed the pink slips of paper, then reached across the desk to take Grayley's hand. "Thanks, John." She never called him his first name, not here at work. He clasped her hand. "Thank you, Supervisory Special Agent Guardino. The Bureau is grateful for your years of service and dedication. You will be missed." As soon as she cleared his door, she slid out her cell phone. "How'd it go?" Nick said when he answered. "They're going to force me to take vacation," she answered with a mock groan. 26 days. Can you believe it? Cruel and unusual punishment. But perfect timing. Next week, Megan's school is out for spring break. And it's her birthday. Let's get out of town. Go someplace warm and sunny. She stopped, turned to the wall, hiding her face from any prying eyes. After months of feeling numb, pushing away her emotions, she suddenly had a hard time stopping tears. How crazy was that? Someplace where we can be a family. "Any thoughts about what you want to do after this so-called vacation?" "I think Megan had it right. I don't have to carry a badge to do the job I want to do." There was a pause.
"And you're okay with that?"
"Yes."
His voice dropped, low and intimate. "We good?"
This time, she didn't dodge the question. She stood straight, trying in vain to pour the depth of her feelings into the cell phone. Tears warmed her cheeks, but she didn't turn away from a stray secretary who passed, staring at her with a disdainful arched eyebrow. She finally had an answer for Nick. Without him, she never would have survived any of this.
We're good. We're on our way to being great. And she meant every damn word.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Hardfall, a Lucy Guardino FBI thriller, Book 5. Written by CJ Lyons, performed by Lauren Roth. Producer, Mike Charzuk. Copyright 2014 by CJ Lyons. Production copyright 2015 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.